Hello, Gregory.
Jeffrey.
Alright, so, Amazon Anonymous?
That's what I was thinking.
Anonymous is Amazon's.
So,
is he anonymous?
Alright, looking at last month. How about that? Well, maybe we should pause while we search.
Okay, fine. Alright, so the item I found is the Enviro Protection Industries Deer Scram Granular Repellent 6 pounds Animal Repellent. This is something you sprinkle on your flower beds, and it keeps deer and rabbits away. How do you do that, you might ask? The way it works is deer scram stimulates a strong fear response by emitting an odor that deer and rabbits associate with their dead kin.
Huh.
It repels the animal before they nibble the plants. Deer scram does not have any unpleasant odor for humans, but discourages unwanted animals from returning to the protected area. It contains no synthetic additives, is non-toxic, it's biodegradable, and will not harm animals or the environment. Deer scram biodegrades into a high nitrogen organic nutrients. It should be applied every 30 to 45 days, depending on weather conditions.
Interesting. That's pretty cool.
And it gets, what is the ranking on this thing? 4 out of 5 stars. 100 customer reviews.
That's pretty good. And it helps actually feed the plants.
Well, the top review says, feeds the plants, not the deer. And the bottom review says, this stuff does not work.
So there's a bell curve.
Much heavier on the high end, though.
My choice, are you done?
Yep.
Okay, my choice is the Razer Black Widow Mechanical PC Gaming Keyboard. The reason why I like this is because I love mechanical keyboards. They're so awesome. They are... They feel so perfect when you press them. I mean, most keyboards that you buy now, they're basically a... The keys are laid on top of a membrane, a plastic membrane,
mm-hmm.
that registers your key presses. It doesn't feel quite right, whereas each mechanical keyboard has mechanical switches for every single key. And man, does it feel great. It's loud. It makes noise. So it's not great for, like, work use.
And the ones with, you know, 104 little dip switches in there, they tend to be expensive. What was the price on that one?
$124.
Yeah, not a cheap keyboard.
No, not a cheap keyboard. Because I remember those old IBM keyboards that were like mm-hmm. this, and so these are new ones. I have a DAS keyboard, mechanical keyboard at home that I love. And, I would highly recommend if somebody, uses the keyboard a lot and likes to have that feeling of response, then mechanical keyboard is a good way to go. For, you're paying more than, a $30 or $20 keyboard. You're mm-hmm. putting out some money for it, but... The feel is worth it to me.
Right. Someone was putting together a whole gaming PC. I mean, there was other parts there. There was power supply and some cooler fans, and I think there was a mouse. So there's a bunch of items. Someone was putting together a gaming system.
Good choice. That's Amazon Anonymous for this week. Thank you, everybody. And
so I sent you an IM. Do you have your IM up?
No. Let me turn mine on right now. You probably sent it to mine at home.
Yeah, probably.
All right, try it now.
It's a YouTube video. It's a song that Allison listens to 50 times a day. And I've had it stuck in my head for like 3 weeks now. It's from the new Muppets movie.
Uh-huh.
It's a show tune. Everything is grand. I got the whole wide world in the palm of my hand. I hear the song all the time, and it's so catchy, it's an earworm that I can't get out of my head. In the middle of the night, I wake up and it's playing through my head. I'm at work, I'm humming the song, I'm singing it. It just can't get this out of my head.
I'm trying to remember how there was a way somebody taught me to get earworms out of your head, and I'm trying to remember what it was. Maybe if I look it up, it will come up.
You turned it off before they could all get it stuck in their heads. That was part of my evil plan. It's like the ring. If I get stuck in someone else's head, I can get it out of my head.
Let's see here. Can you pause it for 1 second?
Sure. All right, we're rolling again.
So I just did a search on this thing. There are two ways. The way that I may have read about it at some point, but I didn't recognize, was this. The Telegraph talked about how some scientists figured out that in order to get rid of these earworms, solve a tricky anagram or a tricky puzzle, maybe Sudoku or something like that, solve something tricky that takes a lot of mental power.
Okay.
And that will cut it out of your head, because you'll be, your head is, you're so concentrating on doing something else that...
I wonder if there's any research on why earworms...
There's a lot of research on why earworms, and it has to do with the fact that it's simple progression. Like, you can't make an earworm out of a very complicated song. You know, an earworm comes from, you know, very simple 3 or 4 note progression, something that sticks around. There's this thing, this, the other thing that, that I did remember, but I wasn't exactly sure where it was, is this thing called Unhear It. You go to unhearit.com, it says, get that damn song out of your head. And if you
fire
just,
it up.
If you just do a new song, it'll just...
So it was White Stripes, and then it was...
Bloodhound Gang. Yeah.
And they're all fairly catchy. The thing is, you're going to get one of these stuck in your head.
Well, maybe, but...
Maybe, maybe not. That's why you just keep listening to Unhear It.
Yeah, the whole point is to just, you know, just throw enough crap into your head that you're sort of forced to... It fights with each other. Oh, here's one.
That's my, I have a bunch of Mario songs for my ringtones. And I was in, we were in a weekly meeting a couple weeks ago, and I got a phone call, and I'm sitting like deep in the room, and I couldn't get out right away. And it was the Super Mario 2 theme. And two of the guys came to me later today, and it's like, I've had your ringtone stuck in my head all day.
So what, they say, we've been able to allow our users to unhear songs by hearing equally catchy songs. So really all we're doing is making you forget your old song by replacing it with another one. Sorry. But I think that it sort of works in the sense that, you know, you have that thing stuck in your head and it's really annoying and it gets on your nerves and you get something else in your head and it's not immediately annoying to you.
Right. See, the thing is, I don't, while the song's stuck in my head, it's so catchy. It doesn't annoy me.
It's not that, it doesn't annoy you directly, but it really does.
Waking up and hearing it, like, you wake up in the middle of the night and it's dark out, and you're like, everything is great. Everything's great. It's like, come on, am I going insane? What the fuck?
Earworms do kind of suck. So should we try some of these barbecue sauces?
Yeah, sure, why not? Save for the night of the living sauce for later.
Well, this is also extra hot.
Oh, is that one extra hot too, huh?
Yeah.
I think the Night of Living Sauce is hot.
It says it's hot there on the label.
Okay.
So these were also sent to us by Eric. And so we thank him very much for this. These are all tomato-based. And, okay.
That smells tasty.
I have these. We have these nice kitty spoons.
My spoon drawer was empty. That's up in the dishwasher.
So what's this one called again?
This is from Cowtown. This is Kansas City's Cowtown Barbecue Sauce, their flagship.
Okay.
And this is the one that we talked about in the pre-show. It's the best sauce on the planet, 2001. Chunky.
Got a nice tang to it.
Mm-hmm. Some gritty bits to it. I'm not sure what spice that is, but it's good barbecue sauce.
Sweet, yeah.
Glass bottle. All right, so let's do the other Cowtown since we're getting into the hot ones here. This is Kansas City's Cowtown Night of the Living Barbecue Sauce. Reanimate your taste buds with this killer hot sauce. Howling good when splattered on beef, pork, poultry, or fish. Barbecue fish? I guess so.
Sure, why not? Catfish may be a better, you know, better choice.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't put barbecue sauce on salmon. That would be a little weird.
Tilapia.
pours slowly. Okay, so this is the one that says it's hot on the label.
Has a bunch of pigs. Let's see, there's pigs and cows. I guess there's zombie pigs and cows, and they're chasing the barbecue guy, the grill master.
All right. Let's give this a shot. Wish we had the same kind of vocabulary for soft as we do for beer, because it's really just like, okay, so it's a little hotter. Mm-hmm. It's the same kind of sweetness, same kind of tanginess, really.
Mm-hmm. I just think it probably has more pepper. I mean,
yeah.
It's more, the pepper takes away from some of the molasses and some of the other, you know, deeper flavors from the first one. Those came in glass bottles. This is Kansas City's own barbecue sauce from Gates. Extra hot plastic bottle. This one's more red than the other ones, which were deeper brown.
All right. Let's have a little sip. A little sip.
Swig it, man. Chug, chug, chug.
All right. This is also a little more less viscous than the ones, so.
So this one's the extra hot.
This one revels in more of a vinegar base.
It actually has a pepper flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had a little bit more, it would cause my hiccup reflex to start.
Mm-hmm.
I almost have it, you know, almost set up my hiccup reflex. I could feel my chest kind of doing that thing right before I get the jalapeno hiccups.
Yeah, it definitely has more of a celery flavor to it.
Pretty neat.
Yeah.
Guess I'm going to have to make some barbecue, huh?
Guess so.
And we got all these spices, too.
Yeah.
So, Cowtown, we got these three spices. We got the squeal. It's a hog rub. We got steak grill seasoning, and we got all-purpose barbecue seasoning. Thanks.
Thank you, Eric. So, I wanted to talk to you about something. I wanted to ask you a question about something.
Okay.
Monogamy.
Okay. Monogamy.
Does it make sense? Okay, let me put it this way. I think monogamy is kind of a outdated type of thing that worked for a while but doesn't really make sense. Now, here's the caveat. I think monogamy is important for raising children. But I think after that point, it becomes less and less important.
Oh, man. It's a great question. I haven't really thought too much. I mean, I've thought about it some, but you know, not enough to have a deep conversation about. I'm trying to think. Monogamy's, well, I'm sure many people will disagree. Probably about 50% of the population. But you know, one thing about monogamy is it can be pretty easy.
Yes.
You know, you got someone there. You don't have to worry about it. You know. You know, I'm lucky, you know, in that part, right, where monogamy is easy. So, you know, it's not like, where am I going to get my next lay? Or, you know, or, you know, I need some companionship, you know, that kind of thing. I think your point's interesting. I could see, like, okay, empty nest, kids are out of the house, let's go swing.
Yeah.
You know, I could kind of see where, I don't know how I would put it, but, I mean, I could kind of see where your argument almost makes sense, right? But you talk about, like, you know, monogamy is important for raising kids. And what I wanted to explore when you first said that was, is it really? Or is it just because that's what we're most used to.
Well, I think that...
I mean, a commune could be great for raising kids.
Right.
You know, a village, you know, it takes a village, that whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, could that be better for raising kids? It could be. I mean, I don't know. I don't have examples.
It
but
could be, but it doesn't require a radical change of...
Oh, you're saying once everyone, all the kids go to college, all the senior, all the silver foxes and their husbands go start swinging.
I'm not sure. This is, you know, again, not a huge, not a major analysis on my part. It's just right. what I see, and that's that monogamy seems to me to be a little, you know, based on this whole chivalric concept that. The whole, I mean, the very idea that love is eternal is rather silly, isn't it? The feeling you have in a person when you first fall in love is not the feeling you have 10 years later. I think that's almost universal. That doesn't mean that you don't really like a person. You don't love them in some way, but it's not the same thing you had before. And so you're kind of forced into, or you fall into this sort of contract-like arrangement with the person. I mean, that's what marriage is, right? Mm-hmm. It's a contract, essentially. All right, we've found each other, and we're going to deal with each other's nonsense. How long is that really sustainable in the world we live in now? I think we're seeing that, especially with the ability we have to communicate with other people, to discover other people, discover other things, that's less and less sustainable.
That's a good point. You know a lot more people, or have the opportunity to know a lot more people. It's an interesting thought experiment. You know, I'll let you know how it goes when the kids are out of the house, huh? Daddy's going swinging tonight.
Then the other question that comes through is the monogamistic idea, is it just relating to sex or is it simply cohabitation? I feel like sex is very important for couples because it helps them communicate with each other. In a different way than just talking. You know, and sex is something to be celebrated, not shunned, and everything. But is it possible for people who are married to, you know, stay together with their kids and yet have things on the side just for both sexual ideas and for emotional things?
Right.
And then still stay together.
Well, I think that's where it probably gets tricky, right? Because you just talked about that infatuation feel, right? Yeah. And, you know, keeping it casual, right? You know, I haven't experienced it myself, but I mean, every romantic comedy ever, right? You know, shows that you can't maintain, you know, something on the side. You always want to, you know, keep advancing that. And then, you know, your husband, you know, gets neglected and then things just don't work out, right? So
if you though keep sort of the idea that this is purely sort of on a theoretical level, but if you were sort of to keep the idea that this infatuation, like all others, will end, then can you in some sense sort of override some of your emotional attachment and be able to break things off when necessary? I don't know. Purely theoretical. I don't know the answer. I wonder if there's anything to it.
Yeah. I don't know.
The one thing that I think, you know, is clear is that the concept of a completely monogamous society staying monogamous is not working. You see divorce rates 50% and higher.
Mm-hmm. And cheating on top of that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Either people are being forced into marriages that they would rather not be into, or the whole concept of monogamy needs another look and society needs to be at least pivoted away from that concept. I don't know what the answer is. There must be one.
It's polyamory.
Just fuck everything that moves. Yeah, I mean, the Mormons would say, you know, have multiple wives, but then that kind of shafts the women.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why you just let them all let them start swinging.
Well, you know, you look at ancient Greece and it was a totally different sort of sexual regime.
Shit, if I knew it was going to be this kind of party, I'd stick my dick in the mashed potatoes.
Yeah, so I don't know how to resolve this sort of problem. But I think there is a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something there. I mean, unless divorce is the solution, I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, well, other than it is hard on kids, right?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so let's preempt the kid having, right? You got to pass a test to have sex, you know, something like that. I don't know.
It's hard on kids and it's hard on people because there's the unequal distribution of wealth when divorces happen. And, you know, it more happens when there are kids involved.
Right. Kids screw the whole thing up.
They really do. They really do. Kids make the whole thing. That's why, you know, if you're going to have kids, then you have to really have to double down on the marriage thing for as long as they're around. As long as they're under your protection, under your roof.
Right.
You know, once that's done, then...
Right.
Go your separate ways if you want to.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was thinking about this. Today is my parents' 40th anniversary. And, you know, both of us, our parents are still together. So I was thinking about that today. I'm like, oh, Greg's parents are still together. My parents are still together. You know, 40 years. I don't know. No, point to that. It's just something I was thinking about. And, you know, now we're talking about, this whole thing. So it kind of came around, but, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. More and more of my friends have parents who are separated or divorced or whatever. So, yeah, it's interesting to me to look around and see a lot of people I know with divorced parents or whatever the case may be.
Well, like half. It's like
half.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, but back to your original point, when half the marriages are getting dissolved, something is not right.
Yeah.
It's either too easy to get married or marriage isn't the answer, you know? So which is it? And the simpler one is marriage isn't the answer, I guess, right?
That's the conclusion that I've tentatively come to. Marriage is not the answer. Marriage is a convenient thing.
Well, a lot of people get married because they're supposed to get married. Right. But financially, in many cases, it's probably not the best thing.
Well, it
I don't know in all cases. I don't know if it was in my case. I wasn't, you know, I didn't have the acumen to do that analysis. Right. But, you know, hear about two high wage earning people together as a couple they would pay a marriage tax if they got married, right? Or they're better to both stay single, you know, and cohabitate. But, no, you know, a lot of people
tax benefits you get if you're married, aren't there?
I think there is. I don't know how this works. I was just listening to a Freakonomics, and they just mentioned how there's this couple where they're both, you know, they're both college professors, whatnot. And they decided not to get married because there would have been a definite penalty to them getting married financially. They have a child, you know, and they're raising a child as if they were married. They just did not get married. And I don't think very many people consider that as an option. They don't research it. They don't say, hey, would we be better off if we just made a pact to stay together and raise this child instead of actually getting married?
I think as long as you can maintain that pact, then I don't see any, you know, why it's any different than marriage, except for marriage gives you possibly more flexibility in certain areas and then more problems down the line. I mean, the thing it gives you is
so if both people weren't wage earners, right? Or if they both weren't bringing, if they didn't have their own income, then it could be unfair, right? Like in my case, right? If Heather and I weren't married, Heather's staying home raising the kids, Heather doesn't have the skills to earn a high income, right? You know, it wouldn't be fair for her because, hey, let's split up. I'm done. She'd be screwed, right? So, you know, marriage gives her some protection, you know, that kind of case.
Not only that, but also gives you power of attorney and, and sort of, you know, visitation rights and those sort of things if something were to happen. So marriage gives you, you know, marriage gives you that legal contract.
Right. There's benefits, there's penalties, there's... Who knows? I don't know. I would say, you know, knowing what I know today, I would like to think that I would be a little more analytical about it, but I was in love. And it was it's what you're supposed to do when you're in love.
Right.
You know, for me, it was never, I found the one. You know, it always seemed like you find someone who's good enough.
Yes.
You know, you're not going to find, you know, this whole romantic bullshit where you find the one.
Yeah.
No, you just find someone that you can reasonably spend a long time with, you know, that's where it's at.
The one is only going to be the one for a few years at most. People naturally sort of grow apart. And
then if you find the girl that's the one for you, you're probably too dumpy for her. It's not going to work out anyway, right? So. She's hot. She's rich. She's a doctor.
Yeah.
Ain't going to work out because she's going to be bored with you.
I think love is a interesting cocktail of emotions and chemicals and all the other stuff that goes on.
Personal electronic devices on airplanes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, not yet.
Well, it's been approved.
Yeah.
And by the end of the year, they'll be enabled. So if you haven't heard, if you've been living under a small to medium-sized rock, just the other day on Halloween, the FAA announced that you no longer have to... turn off your personal electronic devices. Well, the headline is you can use it throughout the flight. They still want you to turn them off.
Turn them on airplane mode.
They still want you to not use them. You have to stow them for the immediate takeoff and the immediate landing.
If they're large, if they're like a big computer.
And they still want you to listen to the safety warning.
Right.
But they...
There's also, they have the ability to ask you to turn them off because they did find in their research that 1% of landings that occur in bad conditions, it's important to...
Yeah, if the pilot's using his instruments to do the landing, they're still crazy paranoid. They want you to turn all your stuff off. I would love to see the stat on, for takeoffs and landings, what percentage of phones stay on. Stay on intentionally and also accidentally, right? Because I know there's people that leave them on intentionally. Like, oh, this ain't going to crash the plane. Screw it. But then I'm sure there's tons and tons of people that are trying to do what's right and just don't know how to turn their phone off.
Well, I turn my phone on airplane mode, but I don't shut it off.
Bad, bad boy. See, you're intentionally, willfully trying to crash my plane.
Well, because I knew that there's really no chance for it to do anything, particularly when it's in airplane mode.
You obviously can't make phone calls.
Yeah.
But you can't, like say you were using Google Talk or something, you can't have a voice conversation, even if it's over the like airplane's Wi-Fi.
You can't?
Nope. You can't have a voice conversation.
Okay.
So that's also, there's still some restrictions. And like I said, for the immediate, so like under 10,000 feet was the recent rule, right? You can't use electronics under 10,000 feet. Now it's for the immediate takeoff and for the immediate landing. So what, the 8 feet, you know, while you're rolling down the runway until you're 6 feet off the ground? I don't know what that means. I mean, obviously it's going to be less than the 10, 12, 15 minutes it takes to get to 10,000 feet. Mm-hmm. But I think there's still a blackout period for like when you're taxiing.
I didn't know that. That's not what I read. No, they said it was gate to gate.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw one of those, infographic from the FAA. And I thought it was from the FAA. And it said, you know, for the immediate takeoff, like the rolling takeoff, rolling landing, you still have to turn it off.
That's not what I read.
I mean, well, in airplane mode. Not off, but airplane mode, not using it actively.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I did. It did say that you need to turn everything in airplane mode. But no, use of electronic devices from gate to gate.
Oh, yeah. So the one I saw, like, you'd actually have to put your phone down and stop playing Angry Birds.
No, that's only...
for the immediate takeoff.
That's only if... for that landing thing, or if the crew requires it, from what I understand.
Probably not going to find that one quickly. So, one or the other. But the original headline was, yeah, you can use your shit all the time now. And then when I saw the infographic from the FAA, it still had more restrictions than I had thought. But do your own research. Figure out what the answer is. Because you don't want to listen to our dead air while we figure that answer out right now. Even though Greg's going to try. And so when can we get liquids back on the airplanes? That's what I want to know.
National Journal of Things says FAA finally eases restrictions on gadgets, but you still can't bring pool cues on an airplane. This seems to say gate to gate.
Okay, cool. It's up to the airlines. Each airline can implement it as see fit. Unfortunately, the Southwest Wi-Fi wasn't that expensive. I didn't buy it. I didn't need, you know, access because the flights weren't that long. But I think it was like $8 for the Wi-Fi.
That's not terrible.
No, I mean, that's reasonable. If I could have made use of internet connectivity, I would have done it. But I had plenty of offline things to do on the flight. And you get some, you know, they have you in a captive portal, so you can get to some things like the Southwest website, and the flight tracker on Southwest is really cool. You go to it shows you the map, and you can see what you're flying over.
I think that's just flightstats.com. That's what it is.
Okay, but it's free.
Yeah.
On your computer on the Southwest flight, mm-hmm. and you can see exactly where you're at, your wind speed, your altitude, all that fun stuff, or ground speed, altitude, all that stuff, and it's pretty neat because you always look out the window like, what state is that? Or what's that river? Or what's that lake? And now you know. So,
yeah. So that's cool. So you have at least access to that. Mm-hmm. And like the newer devices, you know, like the iPhone, I know you can turn into airplane mode, but you also can turn Wi-Fi on.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have capability to do communication. And I assume near field communication, that type of thing too.
Bluetooth's allowed in the new rules. Yeah. So you can have your wireless keyboard and stuff like that work.
Seems reasonable. We missed
now,
out.
Now the big problem is going to be people not taking out their headphones to listen to the safety lecture.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't listen to the safety lecture. I've listened to hundreds of them. Well, I've listened to probably 50 or 60 of them over the...
Yeah.
If not more. I don't know. I've flown a lot.
When I flew Southwest, they have fun, right? And The one guy was having a lot of fun with the safety lecture, and he made some changes that I'm not sure he's legally able to do.
Yeah.
Because if in the event of a water landing, he said, if this flight turns into a cruise, you know, something like that, you know, it was funny. It was humorous. I smiled, but, I'm not sure he was allowed to like take some of these liberties that he took.
I love the whole water landing thing, especially when you're just going over land.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, there's going to be a water landing here.
George Carlin had a bit on that, right? A long time ago. So I tried not to, I don't want to reuse the joke because it's been so dumb. It's like, you know, much more likely you're going to crash into a fucking mountain. You know, something along, you know, he delivered it much better.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
In the event of a water landing, you are wildly off course.
He's like, if this turns into a cruise. And, I felt bad. Like, I felt for his one thing. Like, when he started the announcement, he's like, has anyone lost a wallet? We have, you know, and, like, everyone looks up, you know, like, things like that to get your attention. And then he did a second one, and I fell for it again. I was like,
Southwest.
Yeah, damn you, Southwest. But other than that, what else is going on? Anything on TV?
On the TVs?
TV. I've been watching Homeland. I've been watching...
I heard Homeland sucks this year.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it to come around. I mean...
Homeland has the same problem that all the Showtime things have, which is that they stretch it on too long. They don't know how to end it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know when to end stories that should be...
Dexter. Oh, Dexter.
I've heard horrible things about Dexter.
Oh, my God. The finale was the worst finale ever. Ever. I mean, they're doing some neat things in this season of Homeland. I don't know whether it's going to pay out, right? I don't know. Like, not for the plot. I don't know if it's going to pay out for the audience, right? Uh-huh. I mean, it's like, oh, that's pretty hardcore. That's crazy, but, like, where's this going? So you could be right. It's a little meandering, I guess.
Well, I mean...
And I never really liked...
The whole story, I mean, I don't watch Homeland, but I know some of it just because popular culture and stuff I read, but... Why should Brody even be a character on the show anymore?
Well, he's not much of a character on the show. I mean, they're keeping that storyline open, but he's only been in like two of the episodes.
Uh-huh.
You know, so he's not much of a character. I don't know how they're going to pull it back in, but he's not. He's kind of...
But his daughter is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did read about the Dexter finale, and it was like, wow, that's horrible. I'm so glad I stopped watching that show.
So horrible. So horrible.
I don't watch a lot of these shows that are, you know, popular in that sense. Those, you know, the Walking Deads of the world.
Justified's coming up soon. Looking forward to that.
Community is coming back. I told you when, right? The 2nd, January 2nd.
Okay.
That should be fun. Finally.
I need to get to, have you seen Gravity?
Yes. Yes,
I did. I need to get to a theater before it's out of theaters and see that. I hear it's...
Yeah.
Here it's pretty bonkers.
It's,
Is it next level?
No, it's not next level. Here's what I would say to about it. If you're going to see it in 3D in the largest possible screen you can.
I've heard that a lot, actually.
Yeah, I saw it in 3D IMAX. It's very nice.
Where's that at?
Waterfront.
Okay.
And it was only about a week ago I saw it, so hopefully it'll still around.
Maybe I'll try to drag Heather out to it tomorrow. Maybe I'll get my parents to watch the kids. Since we made it.
Yeah.
Or since all the visual effects were rendered through us. I want to see it because it sounds like it's pretty... I don't know anything. I mean, I know George Clooney and Sandra Bullock are in it. That's about it.
Yeah.
And it's space.
And there's some things that if you... There's enough good things about the movie that I'm willing to overlook some of the things that were like a little wrong scientific, mostly a little wrong. There's nothing that was hugely wrong. There was things that were a little wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There was one thing in particular that was like, well, that's not really a problem. And there's another thing in particular that was like, that's not really possible.
That's a big problem.
But they were all reasonable enough to be like, you know, I can see around them because the production is good enough and, you know, it works well enough as a story and you know, as a theme so that I can overlook that sort of thing. There's nothing disastrously horribly wrong about it, like, say, The Core or something.
Okay, gotcha.
There's just things where if you know about orbital mechanics, you're like, no.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, it was a good movie. Glad to see a movie like that getting a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to some horrible schlock getting a lot of money.
Right. That's cool. Oh, I am watching American Horror Story. Watching that. You know, I kind of watched the last few seasons, you know, rapidly. And I like where it started out. We'll see where the season goes. This one's about a coven of witches in New Orleans. I don't know. It's
Ryan Murphy. Ugh.
You don't like Ryan Murphy.
No. I know, TV-wise, you know what I like. You know, I've been telling you about Elementary. I think it's really good. I think you'll enjoy it. If you've been watching American Horror Story, you binge on that. When I told you, watch Elementary. It's good.
Okay. I'll come around eventually, like I always do. Give me some time, man.
And
when's Orphan Black coming out again?
Sometime next year.
Next year. Yeah. I thought it was going to be soon, but okay.
If you look it up, I don't know when it's going to come out again. I mean, it's been renewed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we need some more Sherlock is what we need.
That is going to be coming out sometime between now and the end of the year, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah. Orphan Black. Season 2 returns April 2014. You got a while to look.
Got a while. And
So, Sherlock, Season 3.
Later. After now.
Return to PBS January 19th. It will return to BBC probably earlier than that.
Okay.
So, you'll be able to download it sometime earlier than
the
PBS version.
Gotcha. I just thought of something. So, you know, working on the Playhouse out there, and you know, I'm going to put shingles on it. And I was looking at Home Depot with shingles. Shingles are fucking expensive. You know, they're made for your house to last 25 years. And one bundle, which will do about 3 square feet, is like $30.
Huh.
So like $10 a square foot for shingles.
Did you Amazon it?
I didn't Amazon it, but I went on Craigslist. And I got probably enough to do the whole job for $10.
There you go.
Yeah, so got lucky because like today was the first day I looked for shingles on Craigslist, and this dude posted, and it was a much better price than all the other shingles on Craigslist. And I just got so lucky. Yeah, I found it. I was the first guy to reply out of like 4 guys who wanted it today. And so I had to run down to Moon, pick up these shingles. But yeah. So let's see. I would have paid what, 6 times 30 instead of $10. Yeah. Good deal. I had to buy at retail.
Just for shingles.
Crazy expensive. Like, I just want cheap shingles for a playhouse, but
yeah.
They just make shingles, good shingles that are supposed to last 25 years for your house. So
why do you need shingles?
So you keep all the water off your wood and your wood going bad.
But couldn't you use something else?
I mean, steel roof, yeah. Costs more.
Costs more?
Yeah, steel roof probably costs more than shingles. Wow. Then you gotta keep it painted so it doesn't rust.
Couldn't she get some sort of like aluminum?
Costs more than steel, probably.
Not really, no. I mean, I've used aluminum to put under my air conditioner. And those little sheets are really like $5 or $6. Put 6 or 7 of them together. It's more than what you paid, you know, mm-hmm. but you just rivet those down. And
yeah, not sure. Roofing is not cheap. I'd love to go with steel roof, but put some solar panels on it, you know, all that shit. But
yeah.
None of it's cheap. Yeah, putting asphalt and rocks up on your roof works, but doesn't seem like the most efficient use of material.
Solar panels would be very expensive because you have to buy a solar panel and then mm-hmm. buy a battery system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. $30,000 or so.
$30,000 for your
well,
kids' playhouse.
I don't know the price. Oh, not for the... No, this is for a house. Not for, not for the playhouse. I was talking about houses the last couple sentences.
Yeah.
I mean, there's corrugated plastic and stuff, but that would have been difficult to use on the playhouse, and it would look like a barn. You know, it wouldn't have been that great. So I got $10 shingles, so... If I can shingle the whole place for $10, that's you're doing pretty good when you work that one out. So I was happy.
I'm glad you're happy with your shingles.
Hopefully, I never have those kinds of shingles. Right. You see those commercials on TV where the guy's like, you know, talking about shingles and how it hurts so bad, and it's just like it's a commercial to get you to talk to your doctors about shingles. Or something about some kind of shingles medication that you don't need because you don't have shingles, but the commercial wants you to talk to your doctor.
Well, you've had chicken pox, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're probably not going to have shingles.
But the commercial says if you have chicken pox, you have the shingles virus. And you,
yeah,
and,
but...
And like one out of three people have a reoccurrence of shingles. That's what the commercial says. The one selling the medication.
Mm-hmm. I guess if you live long enough. You know, but, mm-hmm. Yeah, because chickenpox is a herpes variation, I believe. And shingles is, let's see. Herpes zoster.
Fascinating. Painful skin rash. It's caused by... The varicella zoster virus. Shingles usually appears in a band or strip smear of one side of the face or body.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know, but the commercial makes it sound like you're going to get shingles because one
but
of the three.
But now there's a
chickenpox
vaccine
that keeps you from getting the virus, yeah. Or you know, yeah. I think my kids have I think Allison has the vaccine. Yeah, so she might never have chickenpox. That was kind of a rite of growing up, was getting the chickenpox.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's about time to wrap it up. I think we're running out of things to talk about.
A 16-year British study proves that of those individuals living to 85, 50% would likely have at least one attack, and 1% had at least two attacks. So... If you live long enough, you may have shingles.
One out of two at 85, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Fun.
Yay. All right, well. And on a herpes note.
Oh, well, I got one more thing we can talk about. So we're talking about the things. The, what are those called? The cells they culture.
Stem cells?
No, the... It was a cancer cell. The the HeLa. You ever hear of HeLa cells?
Don't think so.
Okay, so Henrietta Lacks was a lady back in the 50s or 60s who died of some kind of cancer. And they took a biopsy of the cells. And the cells would propagate and propagate and propagate. Very aggressive cells. And they found that these are great for testing new medications and things like that. And it's huge. Like, everybody used HeLa cells for forever. And it's done such good for science. But it's the DNA, more or less the DNA of Henrietta Lacks. Uh-huh. And her family, you know, didn't know that these samples were taken and being propagated and used, like, for all this stuff. And when they did find out, they're not scientific. Henry Lacks was a black person from the South, and family didn't know. So, like, for a while, the family thought that, like, her soul couldn't be at rest because her body's still being used, that kind of thing, right? Uh-huh. You know, no one explained the science or anything to them. They came around. But last year, a German group, published the genome of the HeLa cells, which has a lot of information about the Lax family, and it's out on the internet and stuff like that. So there was a big, they took it down when they were asked to, and then so they're now the CDC, I think it's the CDC, has a panel that is an arbiter, controls who can access the genome of the HeLa cells, and a couple of the Lax family members sit on the panel and stuff like that. So it's a really fascinating story, this whole story about the HeLa. It's on Radiolab, I think, is where I heard about it. If it piqued your interest at all, you should go find that one. It's pretty interesting.
The HeLa cells. There was something I was thinking of because you're talking about the...
They also found... Another interesting thing is they found that the HeLa cells were contaminating all these other cell cultures in these labs. The HeLa cells, they'd be in a petri dish. They could hitch a ride on a dust particle.
Wow.
And float down the hall and contaminate. And they propagated so aggressively that they would take over these other cultures by a piece of dust falling into this other culture in another room. I mean, there are these crazy, crazy aggressive propagating cells that are just cancerous, and they just replicate. But they still have all these great properties of being able to test against human cells and things like that. They had one other thing. What was it? It was talking about... I don't think they closed the loop on this one, but I was thinking, like, if it's hitching a ride, if it's such an aggressive cell and it can migrate, right, like that, is it possible to catch cancer, right? What if you breathe this thing in, you know?
I think that your body will attack something that it sees as foreign very quickly, whereas a petri dish won't.
Right, yeah.
So I don't think there's much to worry about in that situation.
Right. But they were talking about something about catching cancer. What was it? Not a human catching HeLa cancer or anything like that, but it was something. Oh, what was it? Oh, it was a recent Radiolab. Check it out. It was great stuff, but there was something about catching cancer. I wish I could remember it right now because it was fascinating.
You mentioned the CDC, and I was just reading a story on The Onion about the CDC, but this is the Centers for Disease Contraction, and they recommend sucking on doorknobs and... licking them and then touching each other's eyes.
Nice. Very cool. All right, so go check out the Radio Lab about HeLa and tune in next week.
Tune in next week. See you guys.